Last summer, we featured a story about the first internet addiction treatment center in the United States. At the time, it had only one patient, and we thought it was something of a, well, not joke exactly, but maybe a hysterical reaction to a non-problem. Well, we might not be finding it all that funny in the future, according to the new Frontline episode, which airs on PBS nationwide next week. Digital Nation, an hour-long program about the consequences of our increasingly wired lives, is co-hosted by Douglas Rushkoff, who kindly offered to recut a small portion of the TV program for our radio show.
Back in the day, the early 1990s, or three centuries ago in internet years, those of us looking toward America's digital future always turned to Asia for a glimpse of what might soon happen here. Asia, and South Korea in particular, seemed to be leaving us in the dust as far as technology usage, with their government literally rebuilding their society around devices that weren't even on the market here, at least not yet. But now that texting is a road hazard, Facebook is our kids' social life, and gaming is perhaps the only thriving entertainment business, many of us are wondering just how digital our lives might yet become, and what the heck we're supposed to do about it. So I went to Korea to see what answers they might have for us about our own future confronting the digital revolution. It's not altogether pretty. South Korea has become one of the first countries to confront the fallout of the digital revolution. Many say the national gaming obsession is getting out of hand and taking a toll on the nation's youth.
It's pretty extreme. I play 7 or 8 hours a day. Then on weekends, I stay up all night on the computer.
Over the last year, 15-year-old Chung Yong-il has dropped from the top of his class to the bottom. His mother blames the computer.
When Yong-il starts a game, he doesn't know when to stop, and he just plays for hours. I think if I can't control him right now, I may lose my son. This is an addiction. Only an addict could act this way.
There's an argument about whether it's a real disease or just a phenomenon. But we think it's definitely an addiction.
Dr. An Dong-hyun conducted a 3-year study on the question of internet addiction. His findings helped Korea become one of the first countries to treat it as a psychiatric disorder.
About 90% of Korean children use the internet in their daily life. Of those, about 10 to 15% are in the high-risk group.
Welcome to the Internet Rescue School. This is a 2-week treatment camp.
In an effort to help kids like Yong-il, the Korean government has funded internet rescue camps throughout the country.
The reason you're all here is because you want to decrease the time you spend on the internet.
At the recommendation of a teacher, Yong-il's mother will be leaving him here for 2 weeks. The day starts with a group counseling session.
Because of the internet, my health has gotten worse and there's no structure to my life. Who's checked that box? Everyone has checked that box?
Most of the kids here say they've had to seek medical treatment for conditions that resulted from overusing the computer, like eye strain and ear complications. Here, they spend lots of time outdoors, engaging in physical activity. It looks a lot like summer camp. The surprisingly low-tech treatment regimen seems designed mainly to recapture a childhood lost to the computer. But it's a struggle for kids like Yong-il.
When you go home, will you start using computer again? Or will it be different?
Honestly, I don't expect a lot. Not using the computer for 10 days was hard. I just kept thinking about the games, or about getting out of the camp and going home.
To prevent cases like Yong-il's from happening in the first place, the Korean government is taking aggressive steps to instill healthy computer habits early. At Korean elementary schools, kids are taught to go online at around the same time they are taught to read.
How should we use the internet in the future? Write about 3 lines. How many? 3.
But they're also taught how to use computers responsibly. It's required for Korean students, starting in the 2nd grade.
One more time. Click.
At this school, signs preaching healthy internet habits line the hallways.
And what's this one say?
Slanderous comments on internet hurts my friends.
Another reads, constantly playing computer games shrinks your capacity to think. First grade instructor Yoo Soo-kyung says learning internet etiquette is more important for kids than understanding how the web works.
When a child is just 6 years old, what's the most important things they need to learn about the internet?
I think they must learn ethics first, internet etiquette and manners, and then learn the technical side of it.
To drive the point home, children learn this netiquette song, preaching good manners and accountability online. The chorus? I am the guardian angel. I will be the first to protect. Though faces are unknown, it's a warm neighborhood, precious internet friend, netiquette. I don't know. This top-down, one-size-fits-all approach to net hygiene might not be embraced as readily in a country like America, where we can't even agree on how to fund our regular health care. But the fact that they're on the case, and that their embrace of the digital has led to a recognized public health crisis, might serve as a wake-up call to those of us who assume that our own digital natives can really take care of themselves out there. For On the Media, I'm Douglas Rushkoff.
Douglas Rushkoff is the correspondent for Frontline's Digital Nation, which appears on PBS stations Tuesday night.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.